Saviour's precious name. We come here to worship the Lord, to be thankful unto Him, and to bless His name. We're going to sing together 467, When We Walk With the Lord in the Light of His Word. What a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. We keep our seats for the singing. Through the Psalms every week, and we come to the Psalm 25. Let us hear the Word of God. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. We'll end the reading there at verse 12. We trust the Lord will bless the reading of his word to every heart. Let us all pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee that thou art God, and beside thee there is none else. And thou hast given to us the immeasurable privilege of coming to God's house and coming just now to thy presence. We can enter into the holiest of all by faith. And we come there by our mediator, the one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. We thank thee for the one who took upon himself our flesh, who was made in the likeness of man. We praise thee today for the incarnation. And we thank thee for that moment because the eternal Son of God became the Son of Man. And he is the God-man, and he is so forever. And we thank thee for that position that he has in heaven today, seated at the right hand of power and majesty, upon the throne of glory, as the one who prays for us and intercedes for his people on earth. It is upon the merits of this dear Saviour that we come to thee today to pray very simply for the blessing of God to be upon this time of public worship. We identify ourselves with the psalmist in these words that we've read, and we pray that we will be led by the Lord. This psalm is expressing desire to be directed by the Lord, and every day we need such guidance. And so we pray that the Lord will go before us, as he went before Israel in days of old to lead and direct their path. We pray that every day the Lord will be with us, and show us his will, and cause us to walk in the way that pleases him. We thank thee for all who have gathered in this public season of worship, and we seek your blessing upon every individual and every family. You know every need. You know the burdens that we carry. You know the afflictions that we pass through. You know those that are here today, and Lord, they're in some darkness of despair. But we can come and commit our way to the Lord, who is sovereign in all these things, who knows what he's doing even when we don't, a God who orders all things for the good of his people. We bless thee that Romans 8 and 28 never changes, that all things still work together for good to them that love thee and to them who are the called according to thy purpose. And as we thought this morning already in the video cast, that there's nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We pray for those therefore in trouble or under trial, whether they be here in this meeting or joining us on the internet, that thou wilt remember them for good, and for your people that they will know this with confidence and assurance in their heart, that the Lord is with them and he cares for them and his love is ever towards them. Bless those among us who know not the Savior. Open their minds and their hearts to the things of God. And may they see that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. That no man comes to the Father but by him. Remember the witness that will be made here in Northern Ireland and further afield across the nations of the world this day. We pray for the furtherance of the gospel. We pray for the preaching of Christ, that he will be seen. We pray indeed that the Lord will build his church as he has promised. Hear this, our prayer, and bless us as a congregation for Jesus' sake. Amen. I want to bid you welcome to the house of God in the Saviour's precious name, to those in the meeting here and those that are listening in on sermon audio and on Facebook. If you're visiting with us, and we have a few visitors here today, we bid you welcome in the Lord's great name. And we have a lady here, is it Hamida? Something like that, from Afghanistan. And you're very welcome as you come here to Hebron today. I trust that you will know something of the blessing of God. This afternoon, weather permitting, there will be an open air in the Glebe side. And just to remind those that are going, we will keep our distance, the one from the other. When the microphone and equipment is set up, there'll just be the one person at the mic to lead and to bring the message. So we'll be keeping everybody as safe as possible. We come for the gospel meeting tonight at 7 o'clock. I'll be here, God willing, to preach. And Thursday night is the midweek service. I'll be here to lead. But our students are taking responsibilities these Thursday nights now for the next little while over the summer. And Jonathan Story will be bringing the message on Thursday night. Next Lord's Day, the worship service, 12 noon, the open air at 3:30, the gospel service at 7. And we want to thank you sincerely for continuing, even when the offering's not lifted publicly, to bring in your tithes and offerings for the Lord's work and our missionary and covenant support to the various missionaries in the mission field and the school covenants and all these things. We really appreciate what you have been doing. Now, on Thursday night, we made a special announcement. We need to upgrade our IT equipment. A new projector is being installed. This one is being hired at the moment, but it will probably be going away this week, and we'll have to put up with the old one. So we hope it's cloudy on a Sunday so you're able to see the words. If not, I'll be singing a solo. But until the new one is installed, and we hope to get new cameras and an operating system. We have seen the benefit of this ministry, especially during lockdown, but it's a ministry that's ongoing. It's a ministry we've had for many years now on sermon audio and on Facebook. The church and its various ministries has been able to broadcast, and we will continue to do that whenever all the departments of the work are back in September. Many believers locally and from around the world have been blessed, and the gospel has been preached and sinners converted. So this is a ministry going out. There are as many people listening in to the service now as there are in the meeting. So we welcome those in the extended congregation. Now, to get new cameras with a new operating system, we mentioned this on Thursday night, cameras will cost upwards of £3,000 each. The operating box, £2,000, the controller, £3,500, and cabling and installation on top of that. And the estimated cost is between £18,000 and £20,000. It's not too much when you say it quickly. But we made an appeal on Thursday night, and that's 2.5 days ago. We're very, very thankful to announce, and really our hearts have been touched by the response so far, because gifts received for the new IT equipment, you can just see there on the slide, a gift of £500, another gift of £500, three gifts of £100, a gift of £2,000, two gifts of £1,000, and a gift of £4,000. And so you can see for the camera equipment and those other things that are needed with it, we're almost halfway, or we are about halfway, £9,300. I want to thank you sincerely, those who have contributed and those who still will give. And if you're on sermon audio or Facebook and you felt the benefit, we're very glad to receive any gift that you send. Do you remember the Sunday services, to pray for them, for our youth challenge now starting tomorrow week? Our students, Alex, Jonathan, David and Greg. Remember during these days of COVID-19 to pray earnestly for the protection of our families and our congregation here, for the comfort of God's word, for the gospel opportunities that the Lord is giving to us, that souls will be converted to Christ and that our young people and children will be kept and protected together with the seniors. Remember the minister, the elders committee, Sunday school teachers, children's workers, youth workers, those responsible for parents and toddlers, the senior fellowship and the Christian school. Some of these things, it'll be a little while before we're able to get them back again. But we will do what we can when we come to September, and then beyond that, see what we're able to do, looking for wisdom in these days. Remember those that are in the front line every week since the pandemic broke. We have been remembering the doctors and nurses, especially from our own local hospitals, the anaesthetists, the radiographers, the paramedics, the hospital workers, care workers, and the police service. Remembering also the sick and the needy connected to the church. I just again mention Michael Morrison, or Mickey as he's known. He's in a very dark valley, and just last weekend got very devastating news, and we want to remember him particularly at the throne of grace and prayer, and his family. Do remember our missionaries and the mission fields that we are connected with. Pray for our missionaries that are still in the field and for the work of the gospel that's going forward. Remember also our Summer Youth Challenge. This will be done online. Some of our workers were in yesterday and spent quite a few hours getting a lot of the packages together for the crafts that will be going out. There'll be the one delivery made to the children, and then they will do these things at home, and pictures will be taken and sent in. So it's done remotely. We think of the Holiday Bible Club organised by the Mission Board, and that will be from the 17th, the following week, through to the 21st of August. Big congratulations. Most of you probably haven't heard this yet, but Alejandro and Vanessa have had a baby boy last night. Ezekiel Bernabeu Rodriguez, I think. But he'll let me know the proper pronunciation of that. Mother and baby are doing well, and the little baby, 7 pounds and 3 ounces. So we're able to get a picture and all. You've seen this little one. I want to include this slide of Ernie and Molly. Ernie is an elder in Oma, but he's been very much part of this congregation for even years, listening in to sermon audio when they didn't have that facility. And they celebrated 70 years of married life, and that is a milestone for anyone. So we do congratulate them from Hebron. Just very quickly, I want to run through these slides, because these are the pastors in India who have over the past few weeks received encouragement and blessing from our denomination, and they have received food packages to help them in lockdown, COVID-19 situations. It's been really tough, especially in some of these countries. And so they speak for themselves. We would like to express our heartfelt gratitude for the love and concern you have all shown to us. Your gift has enabled us to help those who are in need. Your gift is a blessing to me and my family and a few others. Thank you once again, and please continue to remember us in your prayers. We received your love gift today. Thank you very much for your valuable prayers for us. May our God bless you all abundantly. Praise the Lord. Thank you very much for helping us in our time of need. I praise the Lord for the help received from you. I often kneel down and pray for you and your ministry, Brother De Panker. It is because of people like you all we are able to survive in this difficult time. I don't really have enough words to thank you all. All I can say to you is thank you very much. May our dear Lord continue to bless you abundantly. And then we have this collective photograph. We, 21 pastors and missionaries of Rapur, Chattisgarh, have been much blessed by your assistance. Your help, love, and commitment to the work in India increases our faith. This deed, kind deed of the Free Presbyterian Mission Board, goes to testify that our Lord God is Jehovah Jireh. It is our earnest prayer that the Lord will bless the denomination and your ministries, and that all your endeavors will bring glory to our Lord. Our Lord is a great God, and he will multiply what you have sown, 100-fold, 60-fold, or 30-fold. Isaiah 58:8 says that your righteousness shall go before you, This help of yours is like the help the widow received during Elijah's time. And there's a couple of slides here of, again, two groups of pastors who have been helped with the little word. These pictures are of pastors who are serving in remote parts of Orissa. Most of them don't have smartphones to take their pictures. Thank you, dear friends from UK and India. The good Lord bless you all. Thank you so much for your help. Your help is so timely. And then just a few other slides of these men. 104 pastors and their families have been helped. Got these photographs this morning from Dipankar. This is the orphan project, feeding the poor in India, and especially these orphan children. So again, just a few samples of the kids that have been helped by the generosity of the Lord's people. Take them upon your heart and pray for them as this ministry is ongoing for the next number of years. 17 other pastors were helped with bags of rice in India. This is a separate contact. We hope that they will join us for the conference that will soon take place. Do remember them in prayer. We did appeal for a toilet for a remote tribal people and a water hand pump in Pakistan. And there's the bricks to build the toilet. And this little process of drilling down to get the water and installing the hand pump has been taking place. Tabitha wants to learn more about Christ. This is Deep's eldest girl. She's 14 years of age. She has a desire to be a doctor. She would like to study and do that and then go out into the tribes off Pakistan and help there. She desires good Christian books to help her grow. I was talking to her on Thursday, and I was asking her what she was doing. She said she was reading. I said, "Were you reading for school?" She says, "No, I was reading Christian literature." And she began to list some of the books that she was reading. She says, "I want to grow in grace and in the knowledge of God." Please pray for her and pray for the many children that are being reached and the people at this time. I was preaching this morning again in Pakistan. I preached on the four dimensions of the love of God. And this is the Urdu language. It's John 3:16. If anybody wants to read it in Urdu, you're welcome to do that, but I can't. We're going to worship God and sing together 473. Bowed beneath your burden, is there none to share? Weary with the journey, is there none to care? Courage, wayward traveller, heed your Lord's command. There's a thought to cheer you, Jesus understands. Thank you. help has been going out into the various parts of the world where we have contacts, India and Pakistan, Liberia, Uganda and Kenya, and also Lebanon. Some of you remember the visits of Edgard Trabulsi, who came to the church here some years back, and we've been able to help his people as well in these needy times. It's also very good to see our sister Jane back again. She hasn't been with us yet until today, but she's out there in the fellowship area. If I lean forward, I might just be able to see her, but we're glad to have her back with us in the house of God. We come to read just a few verses as we return to what we were speaking on last Lord's Day in 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And we're going to read just verse 12 to the end of the chapter, these three verses. We've been doing a study in the life of King Asa, and this is the last message that we're bringing. It's the second part of last week. We began to look at the sick king. This man became ill, and illnesses, of course, are reality. And Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet, in his disease, he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And Asa slept with his fathers, and died in the 140th year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchres, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in the bed which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices prepared by the apothecary's art. And they made a very great burning for him. May the Lord bless this short reading. We'll have a word of prayer as we come to the scriptures today. Heavenly Father, we seek your wisdom and guidance now in the word of God, that we might be led and instructed by the Lord himself. Come graciously near and teach us the things that we need to know. Help us to learn, help us to benefit from your word, and by the power and ministry of the Spirit, apply the truths of the scriptures to our minds and hearts. Give enablement to the preacher. Lord, in the weakness of my human flesh, I seek for the grace of God and the help and power and wisdom of the Almighty. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. We have been discussing the difficult subject of sickness and disease. It's something that comes to us all, and especially when it comes to the life of the believer, to the child of God. We said last week that sickness comes for a variety of reasons. Sometimes the devil, Satan himself, is permitted to afflict the body of man. Sometimes it's sin that is responsible for our ailments, especially when people live a sinful life and a moral life. They abuse their body, and of course, sickness follows. And then sometimes it's the sovereign will of God who permits and sends bodily affliction. And he does this sometimes to chasten us, to bring us back into the way again when we've erred. And sometimes it's a trial of our faith. We have cautioned ourselves in assuming the position of the judge and making declarations as to the reason why. It's not good for any of us to pronounce a verdict in this matter and proclaim to some other person that that sickness has come to you because God is judging you. It's a very foolish thing to do that, in fact. We must not have a harsh and a critical spirit that proclaims the judgment of God upon those who suffer. We don't know why another person falls ill. Only God knows these things. Now, King Asa had lived a good and a godly life for many years, but in the last couple of years of his life, he failed the Lord. He didn't end well. He failed to trust God, you remember, in a time of war. And he failed to trust him in a time of sickness. It's not the way to end our days. I want to say that especially to the older that are in the congregation here. It's not the way to leave this world. It's not the way to meet God. And so written across the life and the witness or the testimony of this king really are the words of warning from Scripture that a man who thinketh he standeth, take heed, lest he fall. No one is beyond such a failure. Asa's spiritual credentials are clearly defined. And I want to mention again, just back there in chapter 14, verse 2, what the Lord said about this king. He did that which was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. And that's a general summary of the way that he lived his life. A life that was good and a life that was right in the sight of the Almighty. And then this chapter proceeds to list the wonderful things that Asa did. The reformation that he brought to the land. The leadership that he showed. The blessings that he enjoyed. The battle he fought with the Ethiopians and the great victory achieved. And here's the godly confidence that he demonstrated in verse 11 of that chapter. Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude, O Lord. Thou art our God, let not man prevail against thee. And then in chapter 15, there's a great revival. And there's great rejoicing in the land as a result. And you can particularly single out verse 12 through to verse 15 to read about the mighty things that were happening in the nation at this time. But chapter 16 brings us to his conclusion, to the little latter part of his life, and particularly to our text, which is verse 12 of chapter 16, where Asa, in the 39th year of his reign, was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not to the Lord, but to the physicians. And we ask the question, how do you get from chapter 12, or chapter 14 rather, and verse 2, the man that did good and right in the sight of God, to hear in chapter 16 and verse 12? How do you get from a life of 38 years and more pleasing the Lord? We know that he was 38 years on the throne at this time, and there's no reason to think otherwise, that before he came to the throne, he was living a good and a godly life. But how do you get from living those years pleasing the Lord to those last 2 years of your life? Years of displeasure in God's sight. How do you get from a man of prayer and a man of reform to a man of prayerless existence and unbelief and dishonor? You know, the steps taken to bring you from one place to another are not really huge. Just a few steps. That's all it takes to take a few steps backward and lose out of God in such a way. You get your eyes of the Lord. You get your eyes of his righteous ways. You get your eyes of his purpose for you in this earth. The work that he's called you to. And you stop serving God with your whole desire. And you don't know where it's going to end. And you don't know how your days on earth will conclude. Asa failed to trust God in the battle. He failed to trust God in sickness. Last week we talked about the reality of his sickness here in verse 12. The descent of it. Asa was diseased in his feet. Disease has no respect of classes or of ages or of places or even of spiritual state. And we thought about the description of it, two things. He was diseased in his feet and his disease was exceeding great. And we thought about the duration of it. It seems that his sickness lingered for these 2 years. We noticed also the reason for his sickness. We're not told specifically, but I think we can assume on this occasion, by the information that is given to us in the Word of God, that it was some kind of chastisement from the Lord. Remember, he left God out of his life. He failed to trust God in the battle. He neglected the place of prayer. He got his eyes off the Lord. He aligned himself with the ungodly. He rejected the rebuke of the prophet that was sent by the Lord. He refused to humble himself and confess his sin. And he even persecuted the man of God, the prophet that was sent to him by the Lord. And he did that with vindictiveness. When God sends reproof, he always does it in love and mercy to his people. He whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. God's chastening is always designed to bring us back into the way. We are to learn by it. We are to sit up. We are to be challenged by it. Well, I do hasten to remind you that sickness is not always related to chastisement. Sometimes it is an inexplicable providence that comes. There's a refining process permitted by the Lord. The way that you put gold into the refiner's fire and you purify the gold, so God puts us into the refiner's fire. Asa was sick, but in his case it's likely a reproof from God. When he failed to turn at the reproof of the prophet Hanani, God sent affliction. And so this brings me to my text again in verse 12, and to the response of the king to his sickness. Look at the text. Asa was 30, and in the 39th year of his reign was diseased in his feet until the disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but to the physicians. In Asa's sickness, he sadly failed to learn, he failed to pray, and he failed to turn to the Lord in the midst of it. Instead of seeking the help of the great physician, he sought to the earthly physicians. And there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with seeking out medical help. In fact, it's the right thing to do, to seek the earthly physicians. God has given to man knowledge and understanding in medicine. In fact, the Lord Jesus called Luke his beloved physician. Luke was a medical doctor. There are those who have wrongly rejected medical attention for themselves and for their families, and sometimes with tragic results, and their disease has worsened, and in some cases they have even died because they did not seek out medical attention. And they use Asa as an example. And they said, well, Asa sought earthly physicians and he died. And therefore, that's a warning from God that we shouldn't be seeking earthly physicians. That's not what God is teaching here at all. Asa's sin was not seeking the doctors of his day. Asa's sin was trusting in them alone and expecting that from them only that which God could do. That was his folly, and that was his wrongdoing. Here's a dear man of God, and he's really stepping out of the way. He had trusted God in the past, but he fails here. He had been rebuked by a faithful prophet, but he fails to make amends. He continues in his path of folly. Whoever could have foreseen this? Who could have spoken of such a reaction in this once pious king? Help from our fellow man must always be used with an eye to the Creator and dependence upon him. God alone is in supreme power and control of these bodies of ours. He has made us, not we ourselves. Without him, the most skillful and faithful are in vain. There are those who think that these physicians were strangers to the God of Israel, that they were kind of conjurers or charmers on whom he depended, as if there was no God in Israel at all. And so there is an urgent and applicable exhortation for you and I given by the apostle in the book of Hebrews and the chapter 3 and verse 12 and 13. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And it seems that Esau, he departed in this way, and his heart was filled with unbelief. How should we respond? How should we react when sickness comes? How should we feel towards God? Well, first of all, we should never blame God. Not in that way where in anger we point our finger to God and we begin to criticize him because of some illness that has come to our bodies. We should never do that. Secondly, we should take medical advice and treatment where appropriate, but always with an eye to the higher power, to the Lord. Thirdly, we should search out our own hearts and see if there is anything amiss in our lives, something that needs to be put right, some shortcoming in our lives that maybe is the cause of our sickness. There was sickness in the church at Corinth, you remember, because of sin. For this cause, Paul says, many are sick and weakly among you, and many sleep. In fact, some had died because of the sins of Corinth. And there were many sins that were found in that congregation, especially the sin of division and discord. Fourthly, we should remember that God never stops loving us, no matter what happens. And we were bringing a message this morning in our little video cast that has gone out just to remind God's people in these days of the great truth of Romans 8 and 28 onwards, all culminating with the fact that nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Fifthly, we should be in absolute resignation to the sovereignty of God, to be able to say in the midst of whatever comes our way, thy will be done. Job is an outstanding example of submission. And in chapter 1, it wasn't so much the sickness that was to come to him in the next chapter, but it was the other trials and the other problems that came his way, one after the other. And yet, when all these things happened to the patriarch Job, he just humbled himself before God. And he says, the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. When Samuel told Eli the hard things that would befall his family in 1 Samuel 3 and 18, Eli said, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good. That's resignation to God's will. And also, in the sixth place, we should pray in the midst of such times. Hezekiah the king prayed in his sickness, turned his face to the wall as he lay upon his bed, and he wept before God. And God mercifully stepped in. And that which would have taken his life, because the sickness that he had was going to take his life pretty soon, God healed him and gave him another 15 years to his life. The Apostle Paul in the New Testament prayed about a bodily infirmity that he had. Prayed 3 times that it would be taken away. And in that case, it wasn't the mind and will of God. But still, we should pray and seek the Lord. That should be our response. And then in the fourth place, I want you to think about the result of his sickness. And if you just look on into the 13th verse, it says, Esau slept with his fathers and died in the 140th year of his reign. We're not told that it was the disease that finally took him. But the scripture seems to intimate that it was so. The expression that is used here, his disease was exceeding great, is understood by some to mean it came to its height.
or it flew up to his head and then it was mortal. The disease spread and recovery became impossible. We mentioned possible diseases that would affect the feet and the legs that Esau may have had. And some experts reckon that the severity of the disease and the subsequent death within 2 years points to peripheral obstructive vascular disease with gangrene probably setting in. We don't know that for sure, but we do know the disease in his feet progressed rapidly until it was exceeding great and it seemed to take his life. Asa knew that he was going to die. He didn't need to be told it. In fact, he dug his own grave. We read that in verse 14, that he was responsible for making his own sepulchre. Despite his blemishes and his failures in those last couple of years of his life, he is honored, as we read in this same verse 14, by his people. Recognized as for the great king that he was. He had been an eminent king, and he was worthy even of this recognition. Esau the king died. And just as we close today, this is what I want to remind us, even leaving sickness out of the equation, I want to remind all of us that this is going to be our portion. This is going to be the result of living a life on earth. We're going to die someday. Here's the common portion of all mankind, no matter who we are. Death is the great leveler, and we must be brought down. I know that thou wilt bring me to death, said the patriarch Job, and to the house appointed for all living. I am but a dying man. One of the great preachers in the past said he was a dying man preaching to dying men and women. And that's how it is. And I want you to think, just as we come to the end of this service, about eternity, because that's where we're heading at the point of death, into the great eternity of God. Dear child of God, we must face the last enemy, the enemy of death. We must come to the moment of departure in this life. Asa, who by the power of God drove away the huge army of the Ethiopians, could not drive away death from his life. He had to die, and so must we. And dear unconverted friend, you must die. Some disease might take you, or it might be an unexpected accident. You might be cut down with a sudden stroke or heart attack. But you know, the great question is this, in one word: witherbind. Maybe it's a hyphen, the other word, but it's witherbind. It could be all one word. In other words, where are you going? You're going to die. But at that moment of death, you enter right into eternity. How shall it be with your precious immortal soul? The king died, as all great men will die, and as all poor men will die. But where will you go at the point of death? There's nothing more important than this to consider. Will it be heaven? Because you know the Savior, you're in Christ. Or will it be a lost eternity because you die in your sin? Let's bow together in prayer. Heavenly Father, you've been with us today. You've helped us in your word. We've seen such a great man, a man of God. And yet, in that little period, in the conclusion of his life, he erred greatly and failed the Lord. Oh God, keep us all from ending our days like that. Help us to continue abounding in the work of the Lord. Help us to press toward the mark. Help us to every day live with eternity's values in view. Help us, as the hymn writer said, to labor for the Master from the dawn to setting sun. Bless your people and bless quicken us by the Holy Spirit to live a godly life right to the concluding day. And for those that know not the Savior, O Lord, remind them that they too must die, like the King Asa did. They must go into eternity. Where will they go? May they challenge their hearts right now, whether they're in Christ or not, whether they're saved or not, whether they're heaven-bound or not. And may it please God to speak to them and bring them to Christ, who is the Savior of man. Separate us now with the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Worshipping with us today, if we can be of help, we're here after the service. We can talk to you, we can keep our distance, we can still talk to you. If there's an issue that you want to discuss, please remain. And if not, you'll be asked to leave row by row by our stewards. So just wait until you're told to go, and then everyone keeps safe. If you want to talk, please go outside, and you can talk in the car park there in the fresh air. Thank you.